It's almost time, and the sun's shining, and my, what a change it's been in just seeing the sun. It lifts your spirits a little bit after a week of rain, doesn't it? Tonight we're going to continue our study in Psalm number 119, and we will be covering verses 73 through 80. Verses 73 through 80, Psalm 119. Tonight we're going to be looking at the Word of God as our witness. The Word of God is our witness. And beginning in verse 73, and before we read this, I just would remind you, last week we were talking about how Psalm 119 clearly defines the relationship between the believer and the Savior, and how many times the word thy is found in the verses of this psalm. And if I'm not mistaken, every verse in Psalm 119 has the word thy in it. And some of them have two or three thys in them. And it just draws our attention constantly to the Lord God. So as we read down through this, I'm going to emphasize the word thy as we read down through verses 73 through 80. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live. For thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, God, we give you praise tonight, and we thank you for your provision and for your compassion, your loving kindness upon us. And God, we are so thankful that we are children of the living God tonight. Father, we just pray tonight that you'd be with Kevin Long and the problems that he is experiencing, the pain that he's been going through. I just pray, Father, that you would touch his heart, and Lord, that you would touch his body. And Lord, you'd be with Kathy and the family. Lord, this is very difficult, and it's very frustrating to wait for the doctors and all of the test results. And so, Father, I just pray that your hand would be upon that family, and God, that you would help Kevin to escape this pain that he's been suffering from so badly here the last few days. So, God, I lift him up before you, and I just pray that you would continue to be with him and with Kathy and the family. We also pray tonight, Lord, for the others in our church. We think of Mary Kaiser, Lord, who's struggling with the problems with her heart, with her blood pressure. And God, we think of Ken and the problems that he's experiencing and the depression that he faces. Father, I just pray that you'd be with them. And Lord, I'm sure that there are many, many others in the midst of our congregation that have physical problems and emotional problems, and spiritual problems. And Lord, I'm just so thankful that you know us. You know all of us, and you know all the problems that we face. So Father, I pray that you would just take care of and provide for your children. And as we come to the Word of God tonight, and as we examine these verses, and as we begin to look at the Word of God as our witness, I just pray that you would bless greatly in our midst tonight, that each of us would receive a blessing at your hand. And Father, we give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. What we're going to be looking at tonight is each one of these verses gives us something to witness about. And so many times as a young Christian, and even as we are, even though we've been in the church for quite some time, we struggle when it comes to testifying, when it comes to witnessing to others for the Lord God and to inviting people to come to church or saying something to our neighbors and our friends, because we're not quite sure what to say and we don't want to say the wrong thing. And sometimes we're just don't have the confidence in ourselves to approach the subject. But tonight we're going to be looking at witnessing. And These verses give us something to talk about when we're talking to the lost and when we're talking to others, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And the first thing that we see here in verse 73 is, "Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments." So the first thing that we see here is that we are created. God has created me. If you can't think of anything else to tell people about God, tell them that they are a created being and that they are not a mistake. They're not the product of some crazy explosion, some manipulation of elements, that they have a purpose in life and that they are made in the image of God. It's something that the world needs to hear tonight. It wasn't that long ago when just about everybody knew. When you started talking about creation, people knew what you were talking about. But the young people today are growing up in a society that doesn't talk about creation. They talk about evolution and they talk about all of the different aspects of it. And God is left out of the equation completely. So if you want something to witness about tonight, witness about the fact that we are made by the Lord God. What he says here is that thy hands have made me, and then he goes on to say, and fashioned me. Well, he's made me, he's made you, and if you're a man tonight, God has made you a man. If you're a woman tonight, God has made you a woman. Male and female created he them. We find that in the book of Genesis. And all those who struggle with what they are tonight, and there are many in the world, men who struggle with the idea that maybe they're a woman, and women who struggle with the idea that maybe they're masculine, what they do not understand is that they're not born that way. That is a defect of the nature of a fallen man. God created everything in perfection. There is no mistake. God doesn't make mistakes. Men make lots of them. And man has been consistent in the mistakes that he has made. But if you've been made a man or a woman, God made you a man or a woman. There isn't any halfway in between, or I'm not sure, I have this male body, but I have all these feminine feelings, or I have this female body, but I have these male feelings. That may be so, but that is a product of a fallen nature that has nothing to do with the God who created you. He made me, and he fashioned me. Now, fashioned has a little bit of a different meaning to it. He made us what we are, but he fashioned us in the way he wanted us to be. And what I mean by that is, some of us are tall, some of us are short. Some of us are very thin, some of us are rather wide. Some of us have a big nose, some of us have a small nose. Some of us have lots of hair, some of us have very little hair. But every one of us is a unique individual that God has made. God has a reason for making you the way you are. Other people may not like the way you are, but God has a reason for making you the way you are. Now, the character that you have, that's a different story. Because the character that you have is a fallen character. Until you enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, and until you have been redeemed by God, you can't correct the flaw in your character. But once you do enter into that, then we get into what Jeremiah was talking about with God being the potter and you are the clay. We allow God to begin to mold and shape and make us in what he wants us to be, and we begin to see a difference in who we are and the way we think, because that new nature comes in and begins to take over. And so when he speaks of the fact that he made me, he's talking about what he made us in a physical sense, but the fashioned me is both physical and spiritual. Once you enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, you are fashioned in a new way. You have a difference in nature. Now he goes on to say, give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. It is impossible to understand who we are, where we came from, and where we're going if we don't know God. If we don't understand who God is, and if we don't understand that this Bible, that this book that we hold in our hands is a sovereign book, that it is truth, we will never come to the understanding of who we are and what we're doing in this world and where we're headed. Everything about our future and the present depends on where we stand with God. And so the psalmist says, give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments, the law of God. Because the law of God is the standard of God. It sets the parameters for our character, our Christian character, to operate. It's been said that a mind filled with trash will eventually turn into garbage. But a mind filled with God will become a testimony to God's grace. And that is a very true statement. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. Verse 74 says, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I want you to notice that not everyone will be glad to see you. It doesn't say that, does it? It says, they that fear thee. In other words, those that understand who God is and recognize through your life that you follow that same God, they'll be drawn to you. Have you ever gone into a place where there were a whole bunch of strangers but immediately were drawn to somebody simply because you could tell that they were different? You could tell from the way that they talked and the way that they acted that they were a Christian. Or at least you suspected it before you started talking to them. Well, that's the Spirit of God working in the hearts of men. And so he says, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. So what we have the knowledge that God has created me, and we have the knowledge that God has given me a testimony. He's given me a beginning in my creation, and he's given me a testimony. When I enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, when I enter into a relationship with God, God gives me a testimony. That relationship has got to be built on something. You don't build a relationship without knowing something about who you're having a relationship with. It's impossible. You can't have a relationship with somebody. You can simply say hello and pass on by, but that's not a relationship. A relationship is you enter into a relationship with someone that you know something about. And you care enough about that person to enter into that relationship with them, to learn more about them. And that's the way it is with God. And when a man or a woman is redeemed, they enter into a relationship. And immediately they want to know as much as they can about God. And so we have a testimony. And that testimony is simply based upon what we know about God at the time. As we grow older in our faith and as we mature, our testimony becomes greater. It becomes a lot more powerful because we have a lot more experience to draw from. We have a lot more knowledge about the God that we serve. So, in the first two verses, we find out that we have a beginning, we have been created, and we have a testimony because we have entered into a relationship with the living God, and that relationship gives us experience and something to talk about. In verse 75, it says, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. This isn't exactly what we would, when we're talking about a relationship with God, this isn't exactly what we would draw as a highlight, the fact that God chastises his children. Whatever the psalmist did, he knew that it was wrong, and he knew that he'd been chastised for it. But in saying that, he said, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right. One thing that we discover is when we are young and we're making our way through puberty is it's amazing how much we know. I always, when I was growing up, I thought I had a handle on just about anything. But I found out that I had a handle on nothing. And what happens is what we know has to be changed to what God wants us to know. Because what we know in our youth, growing up, is sin. That's what we know. We're born that way. Nobody had to teach us how to sin. We had that nature in us immediately. We just went out and did it. So we have a great deal of knowledge when it comes to sin. We can go right back to the Garden of Eden and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. everything changes. See, you're either going to eat the fruit of the tree of knowledge, or you're going to eat the fruit of God. And the fruit of God is this book. You can either base your life upon the Word of God, or you base your life upon what you know. And what we know has been skewered. What we know is terribly flawed, because we've grown up with a mind and a heart that is anti-God. It's against God. But once we enter into a relationship with God, we realize that, and God gives us a new mind and a new heart and a new nature and a new beginning. And yes, God chastises His children. And it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing to be chastised. I can remember many times my father chastised me. And at the time, I didn't think I deserved it. But he convinced me that I did. And as children of God, God will chastise His children. And He has every right to. He said, "I know, O Lord, that Thy judgments are right." He wasn't questioning whether or not he deserved what had happened to him. He said, "I know that. And I know that Thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me." Do you realize that if God does not chastise His children, that He is not being faithful to His word? If God does not chastise His children, He's not being faithful to His word. And if God does not judge sin, He's not being faithful to His word. If God doesn't judge the sinner, He's not being faithful to His word. Because in the word of God, sin is an abomination that must be judged. And it is so horrific that God sacrificed His Son so that we could be released from the bondage of sin. So He goes on to say that in verse 76, "Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort according to thy word unto thy servant." Now the third thing, if we go back to 75, the third thing that we realize that we have as a child of God is contentment. When we were looking at verse 75, when we were talking about judgments and how God in His affliction, the affliction that was brought to bear upon this, the psalmist was a result of sin that he had committed, even in that chastising, he was content because he knew that God was right. And if there's anything that we struggle with as Christians, it is being content. We live in a world that's not content. Nobody that I know of is content. We're not content with what we have. We're not content with where we are. We're not content with what we make. We're not content in the job we have. We are a people that are never satisfied. All you have to do is go back to the Old Testament and follow the nation of Israel as they wandered in the wilderness and they murmured and they complained steady about the provision that God gave them. And we look back at that and we say, how could they? Well, easily, because we do the same thing. We do the same thing. And we have a lot more on our plate than they had at the time. And we still complain. Well, in spite of all the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. So in verse 75, if you're looking for something to share with someone about, share with them the fact that you're contented. They'll be blown away. Because people that you talk to are not content. Verse 76. 76 says, "Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant." So the fourth thing that we find is that God has given us comfort. Merciful kindness has been bestowed upon the child of God, and which allows us to be comforted. Who could stand before God? Who could stand and look into the face of Jesus Christ and not be comforted in knowing that you belong to Him? But in other words, who could stand and look into the face of Jesus Christ knowing you don't belong to Him? Who could look to tomorrow and not worry if he didn't know Christ? Who could stand beside a graveside while he put a loved one in a hole in the ground and find any comfort if he didn't know Christ? We have been greatly comforted. God is a comfort The fact that He has redeemed us and brought us back from the brink of hell is the greatest comfort that a man could know. And if you want to share something, if you're struggling with what to share with somebody, share that. There's so many things that we seem to think that we have to come up with some grand thing to just wow people, when really, if you just go to the basic things that God has given us, it's all the reason in the world to wow people. Because it's things that they don't understand, they don't know. To be content and to be comforted, to have a testimony, to know that you belong to God, that you've been created by the living God, those are all a tremendous testimony and a witness for the Lord Jesus. Verse 77 says, "Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight." Here we find the fifth thing, and that is, God has given us life. "Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight." Too many people, even Christians, just exist. We go through the motions. We know what time church is. We attend. We go home. We're not happy. We find all kinds of things to complain about. We don't count our blessings. We don't even acknowledge our blessings. We don't give God thanks. We struggle in our personal walk with God, and we struggle in our walk in the world, and we wonder why. But God doesn't want us to just exist. God wants us to know life. The life that only He can give. A life that isn't future. We talk about eternal life, but the life that God has offered us is not a future life. It's a life now. He's living within us. We should be happy. We should be seeking to please Him now. We're going to be spending an eternity with Him. Praise God for that. But what about today? What are we doing today? How are we reacting in the world in which God has placed us? What kind of a witness are we to those around us today? The future will take care of itself because we have the promises of God. But God has given us an opportunity to live today. There has to be a reason for it. He wants us to have life and life more abundantly. Many of us are just staggering through life instead of enjoying it. God has given life because of His tender mercies. Then in verse 78, "Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts." Here the psalmist has every reason to be upset because he has been slandered and he has been hurt and he has done nothing to bring this upon himself. Obviously, the reason that they have hated him is because they have hated God. And all he does is cry out to God. He says, "Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause." He doesn't say, "God, take their lives. God, hell is too good for them." He doesn't seek to have revenge. He simply puts it in God's hands. He said, "I will be content to be in the Word of God and let God handle all of those who hate what I'm doing." And so we find that God has given us protection. He protects us physically and He protects us spiritually. He takes up the causes of our lives, the worries that we have, the problems that we struggle with. God takes up those causes. He defends my faith and His Word. And He defends your faith. If you have faith in God, God will defend your faith because He's going to defend His Word. His promises are precious and He's not going to break those promises. And so, like a child, the psalmist goes to the Father in heaven and he says, "Dad," he said, "they've hurt me. And I didn't do anything to deserve it. Will you take care of that for me?" And he just leaves it. "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." Too many of us get so worked up because we think we've been wronged. Somebody said something that we don't like the sound of. And immediately the pride flares and the anger comes and we begin to say things and do things, we'd be far better off if we just ignored it and gave it to God and let the Lord take it. God knows, doesn't He? Either God knows or He doesn't know. And if we believe He knows, we should let Him take care of it. And so He gives us protection. Verse 79 says, "Let those that fear Thee turn unto Me, and those that have known Thy testimonies." Let those that fear Thee turn unto Me. Why? Because God has given us a ministry. Every one of us. You don't have to be a pastor to have a ministry. We all have a ministry. Moms have a ministry in the home. Dads have a ministry in the home. They have a ministry at work. Moms have a ministry with their friends. Children have a ministry with the kids that they go to school with. We all have a ministry and an opportunity to share the Word of God. And part of that ministry is our witness on the part of God, what God is doing in our lives on a regular basis. And so we see the tremendous witness that we have in Christ and this relationship that we have with God and how that witness is important. And so in verse 79, He said, if they need a friend and if they need somebody to talk to, Lord, turn them to Me. Let them seek Me. How refreshing is that? Oh, if God would just fill our church with people who would say, God, if you have a need, here I am, seek Me. Just let Me know what it is and I'll take care of it for you. Too many of us, though, are saying, God, if you have a need, take that one over there. I'm busy. Isn't that the truth? It's a shame that we become so busy doing things for ourselves we have no time to do anything for God. Let those that fear Thee turn unto Me. Then in verse 80 it says, let my heart be sound in Thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. The word sound means sure. Let my heart be sure, sound. So He's given us a sure or a sound foundation. Let my heart be solid in Thy statutes. Let the words that come from my mouth be based upon Your Word. Let my life that I choose to live and the choices that I make be based upon Your Word. And let this relationship that I have entered into with You be based upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Because that's the foundation that I need more than anything else. So the next time that you're trying to figure out what to say when you know that God is working in your heart to witness to somebody or ask somebody to come to church or you want so desperately to make an inroad in somebody's life, just think of Psalm 119 in these verses, because it gives you all kinds of information to use when you're dealing with the unsaved and when you're dealing with Christians that are going through difficult times. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, God, we do give You praise tonight, and we thank You for this tremendous psalm and all of the truths that are contained here. I just pray, Father, that You would help us in this. There's such a wealth of information here. I pray that You would help us to retain it, help us to use it. Father, as we go to prayer time tonight, we pray that You would bless and, Lord, that the hearts of our people would come now before Your throne and we would be ready to hear Your Word, to hear what You would have to say in answer to the cares and the concerns of our hearts. And we give You praise. In Jesus' name, amen.